We are in, if you're visiting with us this morning, we're in a series, Living Life God's Way. It's a study of the Ten Commandments. And so far, we've looked at two of these. The first commandment that we looked at taught us that there is one God and only one. That's the teaching of the first commandment. And then the second commandment that we looked at tells us how that one God wants to be worshiped. And that's laid out for us there in the second commandment, that he cannot be worshiped by having any image made of him. You cannot put God in a box. You cannot take the infinite, immortal, majestic, powerful God and somehow shape him into an image. We cannot do that. And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago extensively. This morning, we're looking at the third of the Ten Commandments, which we find in Exodus 20 and verse 7. And this is dealing with the name of God, of this one God that wants to be worshiped in this way. And here's how he feels about his name. Holy is his name, is the emphasis of this command. And let's look at it in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. The Bible says this, in just this one verse, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." So here is the emphasis here, how God feels about his name. And let's think about that name for just a moment. What comes to your mind when you hear the name Apple? Or you hear the name Soros? Or you hear the name IBM or ACLU or Biden or Trump? What comes to your mind when you hear these words? You see, names are more than just a way of finding someone in a phone directory. Eventually, a person or an organization's name comes to symbolize the kind of character that that person or that that organization possesses. Or think about your children. When you first found out that you were going to have a child, many of you did the same thing that Janice and I did. We kind of looked through books. We thought through, what are we going to name our children? We talked about it for a long time. And you consider family names. You consider names that you like. You consider names that you don't like. Some of those names you would say, well, I don't want to name our son or our daughter that, because that just reminds me of so-and-so who wasn't a good, that's not a good memory for me in my life or whatever. You do those kinds of things as you're choosing those names. And you don't hear of a Jezebel, right? Or you don't hear of a Judas, at least I have not. And I think there's a reason for that. There's something about those names and the connotation of those names that are displeasing to most people. And I think we understand that. Now imagine that I had a can of cold Dr. Pepper up here. And as I looked at that can, I noticed that right on the name of it, there was something very interesting. There was a little TM right by that name. And of course, you know that name mean that those initials mean trademark. That means that that name, which has this trademark, this soft drink, is the sole propriety of this particular company. They own the name, and they own the rights to the use of that name. And what would happen if I were to take a cup of cold water and I added some caramel coloring to it, and I put some sugar in it, and I slapped a Dr. Pepper label on it, and I tried to sell that product to the public? You know what would happen? I will likely get sued. And the reason that that would happen is because I had put that same name on my product that was their product. And you say, well, what's the big problem with that? Well, there's something very important about a name. The name stands for who you are as a company. And everything that you are as a company, your entire reputation, is kind of wrapped up in that name. And so you can get very agitated when someone uses that name, your name, in an improper way. They want to do everything they can to maintain a good name. Companies have quality control departments, and they do that because they want to make sure every part of that product, as it goes out and it's going out to a people, they want to make sure it's right, that it's packaged the way it's supposed to, it looks the way it's supposed to, it tastes the way it's supposed to, because their name is behind all of that, and they want to maintain a good name, a good reputation. And that's vital, of course, to the growth of a business. And companies are very jealous about that and very jealous about their reputations, that they work hard to keep those reputations strong. If their reputation goes down, so does their business. And so for that reason, they get very upset when people use their name without consent or with an inferior product like some other version of Dr. Pepper. Names are important. And the third command that we're dealing with is speaking about the name, not just any name, but the name of God, the name of the Creator, the name of the God of the universe. And this command tells us specifically how God wants us to use His name. And that's going to be the focus of our message this morning. We're going to look at three truths, I think, taught to us about the name of God. And we're going to consider that from this passage this morning. Now let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us here. Oh God, we've opened this precious book, the only book that you ever wrote for your children. And we thank you that you have given to us in Revelation how you want us, what you want us to know about you, how you want us to think about those things, how you want us to speak about those things, even about your name. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that your Spirit would be our teacher. We pray that you would open up our eyes and cause us to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach us truth today, Lord, and give us tenderness to respond to it in ways that truly honor you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the first truth I want you to think of, and it's the foundation of this command. What's the foundation of this command? Three thoughts. Number one, God has graciously revealed his name to us. It's the first thing I want you to think about. When we're thinking about the name of God, let's step back and remind ourselves that God is the one who revealed to us His name. He has not left us in the dark about who He is or what He is. He has not left us to try to figure out these things on our own. We know that God is, as the Scripture teaches, and we know what God is. He is the triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who is infinite and eternal and unchangeable in His being, in His wisdom, in His power, in His holiness, in His justice, in His goodness, in His truth. And we could go on and on. That's who He is. And that's the way He has revealed Himself to us in the Scripture. And the names the Bible uses for God are vital parts of God's self-revelation to mankind. They are not human attempts to try to say something about God. The English word God means the good one. And that tells us how our ancestors viewed deity. The Greek word theos, according to the Greek historian Herodotus, is derived from part of the verb tithemi, which means to put or to place or to set. And it expresses the belief that God fixed, He set in place all things that are in the world. The Latin word Deus, from which we get deity, is from a root that refers to the sky. And it has the idea underneath it of a shining light. The Hebrew word El, or its plural Elohim, translated God, means the strong and mighty one. El Shaddai, you've heard that name before. That refers to God as the Almighty, the provider for all of His creatures. El Elyon, you've heard that, refers to God as the Most High God. And that teaches us that God, the Most High God, is the possessor of heaven and earth. Adonai, you've heard that name as well, translated Lord with just the first letter, capital, means master or governor. And then, of course, the name Jehovah, which is translated in our Bibles in all caps, L-O-R-D, signifies the eternal I Am. And God revealed Himself in so many ways using His name, this name, such as the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our holiness, our peace, our provider, our shepherd, our healer. So God has revealed Himself to us in creation. He has revealed Himself to us in His Word. He has revealed Himself to us in His Son. And He has revealed Himself to us, of course, in His name. So when we think about the name of God and we just step back and look at the foundation of it, we have to begin right there. God is the one. We didn't pick His name. He chose His name. And He's laid it out for us in the Bible. This is who I am. This is who I want to be called. And this is the way I want my name to be used. So God revealed His name to us. And then here's a second thought. We are responsible, you and me, are responsible to glorify and to honor that name. That's our responsibility, and it's the responsibility of every one of us. God revealed it, but we have a responsibility to steward that in such a way that we're always bringing honor and glory to that name. Think about this for a moment. How do we bring honor and glory to that name? Well, we use that name honorably in prayer. Prayer is calling upon the name of the Lord, and we're coming in Jesus' name. We can use the name of God honorably and glorifyingly in prayer. We can use God's name honorably in song. Knowing what I was going to preach this morning, I just kept reminding myself the whole time we were singing this morning of how many of the names of God that we used this morning while we were singing. We sung a song that if you're unfamiliar to it, the song we sang, Once a Rebel, Now a Son. And we're singing a song about Christ and what Christ has done for us. That's a song many of us, you may not know the name John Newton, but you know the hymn Amazing Grace that John Newton wrote. That John Newton wrote the hymn Once a Rebel, Now a Son. He wrote all the words to that. And then a former music director that we had put a tune to it, and we still sing it today. But we're singing about Christ. We're singing about what my Christ in love has done for me. And we could mention many different songs that we just sang. And we ended with Brent beautifully singing and just pointing us to God. Arise, my soul, arise. Father, Abba, Father. We're pleading there. we can use God's name honorably and in a very glorifying way, not only in our prayer, but also in our song. We can use God's name honorably in doxology. We use that, God's name, in blessing, as you see that many times in the Bible. Blessed be God. You see that often in the Scripture. We use it honorably in a benediction, as in, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have found in 1 Corinthians. And there are many of these benedictions that we can see. There are many ways that we can use the name of God honorably and in glorifying ways, and that is our responsibility. And then a third thought here, to glorify and honor that name means we do not take it in vain. That is the emphasis of this command. God's revealed us His name, and He's told us that we have a responsibility of keeping that in an exalting and a glorifying way. And I dishonor that name, and I do not bring glory to it when I take it in vain. And I want us to think about that phrase, take in vain. The word take means to bring forth, to lift up, to employ, or to use. Vain is a word that you know of, vanity or emptiness or frivolity or nothingness, evil, wickedness, falsehood. So to take the name of God in vain is to use it falsely, or to use it in an evil cause, or to use it in an empty or frivolous way that counts the Lord's name as valueless or even a non-entity. This is the idea. When God says, don't take my name in vain, we always keep the name of God in an elevated way, in an honorable way, in a way that is going to bring Him glory, never in a trite, never in a frivolous, and certainly never in a false way. So that's the foundation of this command. God revealed the name. We have a responsibility to keep that name in an honorable and an exalting way. And when we take that name in vain, we are violating the command, because we're not honoring that name. We're not glorifying that name. So that's the foundation. But in addition to the foundation, I want you to think for just a moment about the failures that are associated with this command. How is it that we tend as human beings to violate this command? How is it that we tend to take the name of God in vain? I want you to consider two ways. Number one, in our speech. Sometimes we disobey this command in our speech. As I mentioned earlier, companies feel strongly about the significance and the sacredness of the names of their product. And so similarly, how do you think God feels when we use His name in an improper way? We take the Lord's name in vain in our speech when we use it in a very careless or in a flippant manner, when we treat it with no more respect than any other word in the English language. For example, when someone says something amazing, something shocking just happened, and someone says, wow. Or they might say, oh my. You've heard that before. Without even thinking about it, that they just spoke the name of God. It's as if it's become just another word in the dictionary. And used in that sense, the name of God kind of flows from a man's tongue without ever thinking about the awesomeness of the God to whom he's referring. And so we have to be careful about those kinds of things. And since companies are so desirous to piggyback, some of them are, on the reputation of a well-known company, that they'll take a well-known company's name and they'll alter it just enough so that it keeps them out of trouble, but it also reminds you of that real product. I mentioned Dr. Pepper. You remember seeing when Dr. Perfect came out? A little bit different, but it certainly would remind you of the original. Sometimes I think we have a tendency to do that with the name of God. We don't use that name actually, but we use names that are euphemisms. And we use words like, and I just want us to just consider this. You may draw lines in different places, but I just want you to consider even words like gosh, or words like golly, or those kinds of things. Those are actually alterations of the word God. And you don't have to take my word for it. Look it up in the dictionary, and you'll find those words, and you'll find this euphemism for God. And you know what a euphemism is. We use this word. Another word that sounds a little bit softer, we might say, he passed away. That's a softer word than died or death or something like that. And so we have to be careful about these kinds of things, I believe. Any frivolous use of God's name is a violation of this. And I think sometimes that happens. And I'm just wanting us to just think about some of the things that can so easily flow off our lips. You've probably heard someone say in a conversation, they might say, they hear some fact and they might say, wow, glory to God, I didn't know that ever existed. That's a frivolous use of the name, the holy name of God. And yet it can so easily just kind of flow off of our lips that it's just another word in our English language, and we should never look at the name of God as just another word in the English language. These are very particular ways in which God has revealed himself to the world. And so I would encourage us just to think about that. Sometimes we disobey this command in our speech. And then secondly, sometimes we disobey it in our actions. I want you to follow this line just for a little bit. Here, the nation of Israel, they carried around the responsibility of bearing God's name. You remember when Israel joined into this covenant, and just looking at the clock, we don't have time to go into this, but when Israel became a part of the covenant people of God, and they entered into this covenant, and they became part of God's people. They were God's people. God had chosen this people, not in anything that had to do with them, but in his own kindness and mercy and goodness, God chose these people. And he entered into a covenant with these people. They were his people. And so others, nations around them, they had the responsibility of bearing the name of God to these nations. And these nations, God intended, they were going to look at them and say, these are God's people. And they were going to get a certain idea of God because of the way they see these people. Just like we bear our parents' names. And you may have had your parents say to you what my dad would sometimes say to me before we left. He'd say, son, don't forget who you belong to. I knew what he meant. He knew that as a believer, I belong to Jesus. I represented the name of Christ. And he didn't want me to bring any reproach on the name of God. And he didn't want any approach on his own name either. And I understood that. The way we live bears this. And let me just show you that. Can you go to let's look real quickly at the very last book in the Old Testament. Look at the book of Malachi. I want you to see in Malachi 1, I think you'll see this really easily, what God is talking about here. Now, these are the covenant people of God. They are living as the people of God so that nations around them can see this is a people that is set apart to God. And how did they live up to that role? We're just going to look real quickly at verse 6. Here's what the prophet is saying. God is speaking through this prophet to these people, and he says this: a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you and accept your person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. And listen to what he says in verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. So here was the people of God, and in their actions, they were supposed to represent God, and yet in their actions, they were acting like they did not belong to Him. They were not His special people. And God is calling them out on this through the prophet. And His whole impetus for doing this is, my name, He says, will be great among the Gentiles, and you have profaned it. Is what he was challenging them about here in their actions. Well, that was the people of Israel. God has a new people that bear his name. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, you know, the disciples there in Antioch were first called Christians. Christians, you know that term. Christ ones, or someone speak of it as little Christs. And as Christians, we go around carrying the name of Christ. That's what we're doing. And there's so many places in the Bible that talk about us and people who bear God's name and the responsibility that we have to do it in such a way that men would praise God because of the way that we live. 1 Peter 2, verse 12, having your conversation, your lifestyle, your manner of life, the way you live, having your conversation honest, Peter says, among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Peter's just challenging there. Even though they speak evil of you, you make sure that the way you live, these people can look at your good works, and they may not like you, but they have to say God is doing something in you, and it's bringing him glory. So we are the people of God. And everywhere we go, we ought to make sure that the words that come out of our mouth, the things that our hands do, the places that our feet take us, we ought to make sure that they always represent a high view of God, and that we want to live faithfully to Him. We don't want to do anything that in any way is going to dishonor His name. We want to bring Him glory. That means everything that we do in our home, the way that we live with one another, the way that we interact with our coworkers, the things that we do and the things that we say on our job sites, the things that we do and the way that we worship here in church, and everything about us. We do not ever want to profane this name. We do not want to take the name of the Lord our God in vain in our speech or in our actions. 1 Corinthians 10:31, you know this verse. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I had Caleb read the passage that he read this morning, the very last verse that he read. Speaks the very same thing that 1 Corinthians is saying. Whatever you do, do it in the name of God and seek to honor Him. And then finally, I want you to notice the force of this command. Back in Exodus 20, verse 7, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That means that there's no such thing as innocently taking the Lord's name in vain. And look at the penalty that God had for this. And I put it on the screen here, Deuteronomy 28. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. So you see, there is intensity here. God feels very strongly about his name. And you and I want to take away from here today the importance of this, that whatever we say and whatever we do, we want to make sure that we're bringing honor to the name of Christ. So I want to close just by asking us this question. Can you just think about this? Are you in any way taking the name of our great God in vain? Just ask yourself that question this morning. Could you do that? Just take a moment here and just ponder that. As you reflect on your life, as you reflect on this past week, if you reflect on this coming week, as you reflect on the things that are going on in your head, the way that you're trying to live out your Christian life, is there anything there? Is the Spirit of God bringing anything to your mind that says, you know what, I need to address this, I need to change this? Then I just want to encourage you to do this. I think we can so easily violate this command in our speech and in our actions. And God's just reminding us here, all of us, he's just reminding us today of how he feels about his own name and our responsibility to honor that name and exalt it in everything that we say and do.